Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You may be seated. We worship the Lord in His presence. We stand. Our God is worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. How are we this afternoon? Hallelujah. 2015 is drawing to an end. And 2016 is just round the corner. And what is the year of 2016? What year is 2016? The year of conquest. Are you prepared to conquer in 2016?
Yes.
Are you in a place where you can conquer in 2016? I want us to make a declaration. You know, there are three things that we need to do, which Pastor Paul has shared with us. We're going to fight, because nobody conquers without fighting. Yes. We're going to fight, we're going to conquer, and we're going to dwell.
Amen.
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 So in my fighting,
God will be my helper.
In my conquering,
God will be my helper.
In my dwelling, God will be my helper. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Today I want to share with us, and the title of my message is God, My Helper.
Amen.
God, My Helper.
Yes.
You know, on a lighter note, I think God is Liverpool's helper, isn't it? I mean, they trashed Man City at home 4-1. You know their manager, their new manager is a Christian.
Yes.
So, yes, he's a Christian. And so that's God is their helper, isn't he? I don't know about Arsenal. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah, well, not exactly. God is good. And all the time. I want us to look at the story of Israel. You know, I asked the question, are you prepared to conquer? And I want us to look at the life of the children of Israel at a particular time, you know, in their history. But before we do that, I want us to look at the state of mind of Israel before they went into battle. And my sermon this afternoon is going to be based on, you know, this particular war that the children of Israel were engaged in. Because like I said, to conquer, you have to fight. Amen.
Amen.
Let's go to the book of Judges. Judges 21. The Bible says in the book of Judges 21 and verse 25. It says, in those days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his eyes. Again, let's turn to the book 1 Samuel. And 1 Samuel chapter 3. 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 1. Then 1 Samuel 3 verse 1. It says, now the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no widespread revelation. Now, this is the same time that the Bible talks about that the children of Israel were doing what was right in their own eyes. At the same time, the Bible says the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no widespread revelation. Let me say to you, if the word of God is rare to you, and you are doing what is right in your own eyes, you will not conquer. you will not conquer. That is why your state of mind must be at a place where you are not doing what is right in your eyes, and where you are not, and where there is no lack of revelation in your life. Because that is the thing, that is the key thing that will lead us to our conquest. You know, you don't conquer without a revelation from God. You don't conquer when you are doing what you think is right in your own eyes. You have to be doing what is right in God's eyes. And that is how you conquer. And so, it is a tragic story that I'm going to share with you tonight, or this afternoon. The children of Israel engaged in battle at a time when everybody was doing what was right in their own eyes. They engaged in battle at a time when there was no revelation, where the word of God was rare. Don't go into battle when the word of God is rare in your life, because you will lose the battle. Hallelujah. Let's go to 1 Samuel, the same 1 Samuel and chapter 4. And 1 Samuel chapter 4, and I read from verse 1. The Bible says, "Now Israel went out to battle against the Philistines and encamped beside Ebenezer. And the Philistines encamped in Aphek. Then the Philistines put themselves in battle array against Israel. And when they joined battle, Israel was defeated by the Philistines, who killed 4,000 men of the army in the field. And when the people had come into the camp, the elders of Israel said, 'Why has the Lord defeated us today before the Philistines? Let us bring the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord from Shiloh to us, that when it comes among us, it may save us from the hand of our enemies.'" I want you to zoom in on that word, it. It says, "Let us bring the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord from Shiloh to us, that when it comes among us, it may save us from the hand of our enemy." Is it the Ark of the Covenant that saves, or the God of the Covenant? It says that it may save us. I don't want something to save me. I want the Almighty God to save me. I want the King of Kings to save me. And that is where the children of Israel got it wrong. They went into religion. You know, thinking, oh, if the Ark of the Covenant is here, then the battle is won. But God does not operate that way. God is a God of relationships. God is not interested in religion. It was the custom of ancient warriors at that time to take symbols of their gods into battle so that their gods would, in quote, deliver them. And the children of Israel thought they could do the same thing. But it backfired on them. It backfired on them. Hallelujah. May God's word, I pray that God's word will not be rare to us in this our generation. Because it is a dangerous place to be without the word of God. When the word of God is rare, it's a dangerous place to be. The children of Israel failed to recognize that God will be with them even if the ark remained in Shiloh. They wanted to bring the ark back, just like, you know, the Philistines and the warriors of those days did. They brought their gods, you know, to the battlefront, thinking and hoping that their gods will bring them victory. And the children of Israel had dabbled into idolatry as well. And they were worshipping idols, as we will see later on. You know, but God is the God who remains steadfast in all his ways. You cannot bend the hand of God. Amen? You see, the children of Israel, they viewed the ark superstitiously, believing divine power to be in the ark rather than in God. That is why they said, you know, "Let us bring the Ark of the Covenant from Shiloh to us, that I'm bringing it among us, that it may save us." It. So in this case, they were thinking that the Ark was going to save them, not the God. Not the God who is, you know, their God. The Ark of the Covenant. Verse 4. of the same 1 Samuel chapter 4, verse 4. So the people sent to Shiloh that they might bring from there the ark of the covenant of the Lord of hosts, who dwells between the cherubim. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were there with the ark of the covenant of God. Problem number two. The Bible says, and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were there with the ark of the covenant of God. Let me tell you why I said problem number two. Just flip back to 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 13. This is the Lord speaking. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knows, because his sons, this is Eli's sons, made themselves vile, and he did not restrain them. And therefore I swore to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned for by sacrifice or offering forever. And therefore I have sworn to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned for by sacrifice or offering forever. And these were the two sons of Eli that were in charge of the ark of the covenant of God. No wonder Eli's daughter-in-law said, the glory has departed from Israel. God is a God of relationships. Like I said, you cannot twist the hand of God. What he says he will do, he will do. But as we, you know, engage in battle, in a year of conquest, let our hearts and our minds be set on God. Let us look to the one who alone can make the difference. Let us look to the one who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can think of or imagine. He is our helper. God is our helper. No man can do for us what God can do. I don't want any man to conquer. I don't want any man to fight my battles. I want God to fight my battles. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 5. The Bible says, and when the ark of the covenant of the Lord came into the camp, all Israel shouted so loudly that the earth shook. Now when the Philistines heard the noise of the shout, they said, what does the sound of this great shout in the camp of the Hebrew mean? Then they understood that the ark of the Lord had come into the camp. So the Philistines were afraid, for they said, God has come into the camp. And they said, woe to us, for such a thing has never happened before. Okay. The arrival of the ark gave the children of Israel a false sense of victory. They thought or assumed that God was with them when in fact he wasn't. You know, even the Philistines said, God has come into the camp. And if we can be in a place where we go into battle thinking and believing that God is with us, when in the actual fact, God is not in that business or whatever it is that we are facing or the battle that we are facing. You know, like I said earlier, we don't want to engage in battle when God is not in it. We don't want to engage in battle when we don't have the assurance from God. God is the only one that leads us into victory. Nothing else can, and nothing else will. Our hope and our trust is in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. The children of Israel had presented their God as a God to the Philistines. Let's read from verse 8. Woe to us, the Philistines said, who will deliver us from the hands of these mighty gods? These are the gods who struck the Egyptians with all the plagues in the wilderness. You see, the Bible uses the small g. So the Egyptians, because the children of Israel had partaken in idolatry. And so the Philistines saw the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords as a god as well. Because the children of Israel had, you know, kind of just messed up their relationship with God. And so to the extent that the Philistines actually looked at the King of Kings, God, the Lord of Hosts, as a god. Hallelujah. May we not belittle our God before the world. May we stand strong and be counted, you know, when it comes to our God. Hallelujah. Verse 9. This is the Philistines are saying to each other, "Be strong and conduct yourselves like men, you Philistines, that you do not become servants of the Hebrews, as they have been to you." So the Hebrews, the children of Israel, were servants to the Philistines. "Conduct yourselves like men and fight. But who can fight and prevail against the Lord of hosts?" Verse 10. "So the Philistines fought, and Israel was defeated, and every man fled to his tent. There was a very great slaughter, and there fell of Israel 30,000 foot soldiers." Remember earlier, just 4,000 were killed. This time around, 30,000. Because the children of Israel believed that there was a kind of power or whatever that they could, you know, conjure up from the ark that would lead them to victory. God demonstrated to the children of Israel here that the children of Israel must believe in the God of the covenant and not the ark of the covenant. That's a big difference. And that's, you know, the way God put it to me. God said, you know, the children of Israel lost the battle because they put their hope and their trust in the ark of the covenant rather than in the God of the covenant. Our hope and our trust should be in the God of the covenant. That is, our God is a God of relationships. He wants us to have a relationship with him, and that's the only way he will relate to us. Amen?
Amen.
And so the children of Israel lost. And so, you know, the Philistines, the Bible says in verse 10, the Philistines fought and Israel was defeated. But can you defeat? Who can defeat the Lord of hosts?
Right.
Nobody. Yes. So God was not fighting their battle. Yes. That's why they lost.
Yes.
Nobody can defeat the King of Kings. So let God fight your battle.
Amen.
Let God be involved in your battle. As we enter into the year of conquest, let God fight with you. There is a fight that we have to fight as well, but there's a fight that God has to fight on our behalf.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 7. 1 Samuel chapter 7. And I'll read from verse 1. "Then the men of Kajar-Jarim came and took the ark of the Lord and brought it into the house of Abinadab on the hill and consecrated Elisha, his son, to keep the ark of the Lord." And this is after the ark of the covenant had been captured and, you know, moved from place to place. And finally, the Bible says the ark of the Lord was brought into the house of Abinadab on the hill and consecrated Eleazar, his son, to keep the ark of the Lord. And, you know, it's so funny that that name, Eleazar, means God is help or God is power. You know, that way, God was gradually, you know, bringing back the children of Israel back to their senses. They had worshipped idols. They had been involved in idolatry with the Philistines and with other people. You know, but God, at this point in time, was bringing them back home. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. Let's read from verse 3 to 6. And it says, then Samuel spoke to all the house of Israel, saying, if you return to the Lord with all your heart, then put away the foreign gods and the Ashtoreth from among you, and prepare your hearts for the Lord, and serve him only. Which means that at that point in time, the children of Israel were serving other gods as well. Because the Bible wouldn't have said, and serve him only. So if the Bible says that, that means there were other gods that the children of Israel were serving. When you go into battle, better be sure that the only one who is fighting on your behalf, better be sure that the only one that you put your hope and your trust in is in the name of the Lord. He is the only one that fights battles and cannot lose. It is impossible for the King of Kings to lose a battle. Amen. Hallelujah. Verse, I read from verse 3 again. If you return to the Lord with all your heart, then put away the foreign gods and the Ashtoreth from among you, and prepare your hearts for the Lord, and serve him only. As we enter into a year of conquest, prepare your hearts for the Lord. Serve him only. And the Bible says, and he will deliver you from the hand of the Philistines. Whatever battle you are going to be fighting, because like I said, for you to conquer, you have to fight. Whatever battle we are going to be fighting and believing God to conquer, we have to prepare our hearts for the Lord. We have to prepare our hearts to serve him only. And the Bible says he will deliver you from the hands of the Philistine. So the children of Israel, verse 4, put away the Baals and the Ashtoreth and served the Lord only. And served the Lord only. Hallelujah. You know, I believe that at this point in time in the life of the children of Israel, they probably, I'm sure it's one of an Israeli that wrote this song. You know this popular song? Oh, Lord the God, they are the works of men. You are the Most High God. There is none like you. Oh, Lord the God, they are the works of men. You are the Most High God. There is none like you. Amen. Amen. You know, the Bible says that the children of Israel, so the children of Israel put away the Baals and the Ashtoreth, those are the other gods, and served the Lord alone. And then Samuel says in verse 5, and Samuel said, gather all Israel to Mizpah, and I will pray to the Lord for you. So they gathered together at Mizpah, drew water and poured it out before the Lord, and they fasted that day and said, we have sinned against the Lord. But then they repented. And what happens? Let's look at, breakthrough and conquest comes through a relationship with God. Breakthrough and conquest comes through a relationship with God. Okay, let's go to I'll read from verse 8. So the children of Israel, 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 8. So the children of Israel said to Samuel, do not cease to cry out to the Lord our God for us, that he may save us from the hand of the Philistines. Did you see? Can you see what I see? So the children of Israel said to Samuel, do not cease to cry out to the Lord our God for us, that he, not it this time, that he may save us from the hand of the enemy. Before they said that it may save us, but now that he, now they had turned back to the only one who is able to save them. Compare that with 1 Samuel 4:3, where they said that it. Now the children of Israel had come back to their senses. And they said, do not cease to cry out to the Lord our God for us, that he may save us from the hand of the Philistines. It is God that saves us from the hand of the enemy. It is God that wins our battle for us. God is our helper.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. The focus of the Israelite had now shifted from the ark of the Lord to the God of the covenant. From the ark of the covenant to the God of the covenant. If we are to conquer, we need to get rid of anything that represents an idol or a god in our lives. That is the only way that we will conquer. When we focus our eyes and our attention on the God who alone can make the difference. The God who can win battles on our behalf. The Lord of hosts. You know, he is the one that we need to focus on. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now let's see what happens in verses 10 to 14. Now Samuel was offering up the burnt offering. The Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a loud thunder. Now the Lord thundered with a loud thunder upon the Philistines that day, and so confused them that they were overcome before Israel. But the Lord thundered with a loud thunder upon the Philistines that day, and so confused them that they were overcome before Israel. 11. And the men of Israel went out to Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and drove them back as far as below Beth-Kar, whatever that means. Okay. Now, two things here. The fight has started. But this time around, the fight started on a different premise. Now they are saying that he, the God of Israel, the Lord of Lords, that he may save us. And let's see what happens. And what happens? God, the Bible says, God, the Lord thundered with a loud thunder. God had won, that is the spiritual aspect. This is broken into two as well. God did his part. That's why I said to you, God will do his part, but we need to do our part as well. You know, verse 10 is about God doing his part. The Bible says the Lord thundered with a loud thunder upon the Philistines that day, and so confused them, and they were overcome before him. That is God doing his part. Verse 11, this is us doing our part. And the men of Israel went out to Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and drove them back as far below Beth-Kar. That is our own physical fight. That is the fight that we have to fight ourselves. God has fought, you know, God fights on our behalf, but we need to do something as well. We need to fight as well. So that is the fight aspect. Okay? You remember, fight, conquer, and dwell. Verse 12. Then Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Shen and called its name Ebenezer, saying, thus far the Lord has helped us. Verse 13. So the Philistines were subdued and they did not come anymore into the territory of Israel. Now, that is what I call conquering. Because, you see, the Bible says that Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Shen. You don't do that if you haven't conquered an area, isn't it? If you haven't conquered a territory, you don't establish yourself in it. At that point in time, the children of Israel had conquered. Amen. And so verse 13 also says, so the Philistines were subdued and they did not come anymore into the territory of Israel. That is conquest as far as I'm concerned. Amen. Amen. Verse 14. Then the cities which the Philistines had taken from Israel were restored to Israel from Ekron to Gath. And Israel recovered its territory from the hands of the Philistines. Also, there was peace between Israel and the Amorites. That is dwelling. That is dwelling. When, you know, the Bible says the land was restored to them from Ekron to Gath. Israel recovered its territory from the hands of the Philistines. And there was peace between Israel and the Amorites. Hallelujah. Amen. Fight, conquer, and dwell. Again, fight, conquer, and dwell. You know, I use this sometimes I use an abbreviation to remember things. So you can say FCD. Fight, conquer, and dwell. Amen. That is what we are doing in 2016. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. God is good. I call it the whole package. You know, when you fight, you conquer, and you dwell. That's the whole package. Hallelujah. May we have the whole package as we enter 2016. May we depend on the God of hosts, on the Lord of lords, the one who alone can do exceedingly, abundantly, above all we can ever think of or imagine. May we put our hope and our trust in him. Let me close with the words of Psalm 121, verse 1. I look up to the hills. Whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord God Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth. Father, we thank you this day. We give you praise, we give you glory. For our help does not come from man. Our help does not come from chariots or horses. Our help is from the Lord God Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, the one who changeth not, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever will be the same. Lord, we pray that as your people, we will put our hope and our trust in you, that you will be our helper. Lord, as we go into battle, as we fight our fights, as we conquer and as we dwell, Lord, be our helper, be our strength and our shield. Be the one who will stand beside us, because with God on our side, victory is assured. We give you praise, we give you glory. We thank you, Father, Lord, God Almighty, for what you are going to do in the lives of your people. We bless you, Father. We thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Lord, we give you praise. We give you praise.